Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand. Word inside my heart. And pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something. Looking for a light. Trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt saying we do something we don't. Hurting people saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people. Who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. Yeah, that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Would you let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen? And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you. But they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark,
down
into the marvelous
light.
Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people.
Project, the first day of the week on a Sunday. It's a blessing to be here today. I know it's a lot of stuff going on out in the world. And believe me, the whole world is watching. And all praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel. You know, all I can say is that we have been studying our Elohim for a long, long time. And some of the things that he has allowed in the scriptures and some of the things that he has done in the scriptures on behalf of Israel and for Israel and because of his namesake is phenomenal. And you just looking at this stuff like, wow. I mean, it took everybody by surprise. I mean, everybody. But, you know, it's this, Wow. Man, all I can say is, whoa, wow. There's a lot going on. Everybody's shocked, from governmental leaders to military leaders to politicians to newscasters. Everybody is shocked about what is happening right now in the land of Israel, you know. And we are looking at it from a totally different standpoint, but it's like, wow. It was just, it, you know, and that's, you know, it just threw everybody off guard. Everybody just got through off guard. I mean, it was just like, wait a minute, where did all this come from? Wait a minute, you know how many, hello everybody, shalom, shalom. I'm sorry, I just went to talking. Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, please push one like we normally do. Because I do not want to be talking to myself. Thank you. you know how many Sabbath days I have set? Everybody pushing one. How many Sabbath days I done set by and watched them walk through the streets of Jerusalem, drive through Jerusalem, longing to be in the land and seeing all this stuff? And it's like, wow. I mean, just wow. I mean, he never ceases to leave you sitting on the edge of your seat. I am really serious, you know? And I ain't going to tell y'all, but everybody and anybody that want to push one, please feel free to do so. Please feel free to do so. Wow. I don't even know what to say other than, wow, I am really, really serious. I mean, you know, you just, oh, my God. Woo! And now, wait a minute, they said that an Egyptian police officer has shot two Israelis and an Egyptian and killed them. And now they're talking, oh my goodness, I got to let y'all hear this. Hold on a minute. Wow. I'm like, wow. I mean, wow. Hold on, you guys. Here we go. Listen to this.
Hezbollah is testing the water with some provocations. We are going to go live there shortly. Now back to you, Ruth. Let's take this issue of the northern part. What are the risks of this thing spilling over to the north?
Uh-oh, spilling over to the north. Now, you know who at north, you know who's in the north, don't you? That's Russia. That's Iran and Russia. Watch.
So first of all, I've said not once and not twice that Iran is behind a very systematic and well-thought-out attempt to infiltrate Hamas in Gaza. Is obvious. Everybody's aware of that. The Jordanian arena that I think should be far higher on the priority list of many countries, including the U.S., because the stability of Jordan is very, very important. For Israel, it goes without saying. The West Bank, of course, the northern arena, not only with Hezbollah, but also with Hamas, and other arenas, including an attempt to destabilize the internal Israeli arena and try to ride on some of the crime and violence and the platform that exists in the Arab sector within Israel itself. So Iran is really leaving no stone unturned. It's unbelievable. Now, this is clear. Also, the Hamas makes its claims and its declarations clear in Arabic. Iran makes the same kind of declarations in Persian. The leadership of Iran, of course, not the Iranian people. And likewise, the northern arena, the Hezbollah and the Hamas from the north speak clearly. They say what they intend to do. Whether they do it immediately now or not, that's the question. But there's no doubt in my mind that the Iranian forces, including Qatar, who is funding this machine of murder and massacre of innocent civilians, elderly people and children and families, this is something that must be taken into account by the international Western world.
All right, George.
Wow, I am at a wow. I'm serious. Wow, I am at a wow. I mean, I am really, Whew, Lord, have mercy. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know. Area code 504, your mic is open. Shalom, shalom. How are you? Area code 504.
Yes, shalom. I'm doing good.
Oh, you didn't push it to talk. I thought you had pushed it to talk. I'm sorry.
No, I had pushed when you said push one to let you know that somebody was on the line.
Okay, no problem. No problem. I'll cut you off.
Okay, no problem.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. All I can say is incredible. This is just, anybody else want to say something? I mean, do you have anything to say at all whatsoever? I mean, incredible. It's just, wow. Incredible. I said, I think up to 700 people have been killed. 200 people alone that was at a young dance or something, or some sort of gathering or something. The girl said they just showed up and just started shooting people down. 200 people. Incredible. Wow. I mean, wow. I don't even know what to say. I'm at a loss for words. I really don't know what to say. Whew. I don't even know. I just really don't. I hope somebody will push one, because I really need some help today. I'm at a place where all I can say is wow. You know, wow. You know, you have to really be careful what to say, because people are being killed. Innocent men, women, and children are being killed, you know, and that is never, you know, wow. My goodness, You know, it just all of a sudden came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it just came from out of nowhere. My goodness, You know, and for the Most High to allow this to happen, there has to be a reason for this. It has to be. For him to allow this, there has to be a reason. Area code 856, your mic is open. You're on the air. Area code 856, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm just wondering if this is a harbinger, an announcement for an October surprise.
Remember
here in America, we just ousted a Speaker of the House, which really never has occurred in their constitutional history.
That's true.
It's someone that they need in that office of the Speaker during this time. And it's not McCarthy, whatever his name. So this is what's going on. And then you have Menendez, who's in trouble with an Egyptian connection to that. You see?
I know they were saying that this is going to cause Netanyahu. This is definitely going to cost him, because this happened on his watch. And the military leaders, the head of the military the military leaders of the army of Israel, they're probably going to be asked to resign, because they basically just came into the country and took over.
Yeah. And you look at this, they're saying it's like another 9/11 for them, or another Pearl Harbor. But what happened here in America when we had 9/11? They went in Afghanistan. They killed Saddam Hussein. They went after Muammar Gaddafi. So that's why I'm saying it's a harbinger. It's an announcement of what's going to come. You understand?
Yes, ma'am. I'm hearing you.
Yeah, so they're setting up their kingdom. They're trying to set up their kingdom. That's what's going on. But I don't believe it was something they didn't know was coming. I just don't. They knew that was coming.
Yeah,
just like they knew 9/11 was coming.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
yes, ma'am.
But with the ousting of a Speaker of the House, That was some big stuff. So they're making these moves. Then they, because they want somebody in that house.
I agree with you on that one. Now that I do agree with you on. I really do. I do agree with you on that. All of it is strategic.
Yeah.
It's all strategic, you know. And then when you look at Zephaniah, you know, we was in Zephaniah yesterday, Zephaniah number two.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter two, it talks about, let me find it. Hold on a minute. Wow. I am just at a loss for, I am really at a loss. I mean, you know, we
she went from grandma to
that this was going to be an, this, whatever the Most High was going to do, it was going to be powerful, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, wow. I mean, really, wow. You know? And the sister brought this to our attention yesterday in Bible class where it talks about, you know, the two and it says two. We read it all the way through, but we're going to deal with two and four. It says, for Gaza shall be forsaken and Ascalon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. All this is right there where all this stuff is happening. You know, and it says, woe unto the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites, the word of the Most High is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitants. And the seacoast shall be dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds of flocks. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Yehuda. They shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ascalon shall they lie down in the evening, for the Most High their Elohim shall visit them and turn away their captivity. So, I mean, when you look at this, this is a future prophecy. And when you understand that this is the very area where all of this is happening right now, Gaza, Ascalon, Ashdod, Ekron, all of these are right there in that vicinity where they're fighting. And it's incredible. I mean, you just sitting there with your mouth open. It's just incredible. It's like, wow.
And where is that again, sister?
That's Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 all the way down to 7.
Okay.
It's incredible. I mean, you know, one of the sisters brought this to our attention yesterday in our Bible class, and I'm like, wow. You know, and, but, you know, you sometimes you think, well, it's just a war. They've been warring and fighting with each other forever. But the other nations are getting involved. And if it proves that Iran is involved, then Russia's not far behind, because those are the Medes and Persians. Russia and Iran are the Medes and Persians. They run together.
Run together.
This is incredible. I was watching to wait to see if any other nations were involving themselves, and they did. Oh, my goodness. And the lady was like, this is clearly Iran's doing. This is their doing. And it's like, oh, shoot. Oh, wow. You know? So I don't know. Yeah. I've just been sitting here like, wow. It's all over the news. Everybody is watching it. It's incredible. Incredible. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, that people have to be killed like that. It's just unfortunate, you know. But wow.
Somebody's going to get a nuclear hit.
Huh?
Somebody's going to get a nuclear hit.
I hope not, sis. You know, well, what those ships always stop that. You know, that's the Most High's doing. He's not going to let them destroy this planet like that. I really don't believe that.
No,
I don't believe he's going to allow that to happen.
There are different sizes to the nuclear bomb. It's different sizes. But what I'm saying is, you have the movie Oppenheimer. running in the theaters today, and that was all about the Manhattan Project and dropping that bomb on Hiroshima. That's going on at this time. That's why I'm saying somebody's going to get a nuclear hit.
I hope not. I really do. Mm-hmm. I really hope not. But you
know what?
One thing about it is, you know, from the words of Brother Adonai, we don't have no dog in this fight. It just ain't nothing we can do but watch it. But it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, but he did say right before your eyes, he said, I'm going to turn your captivity right before your eyes. He said that. That's what he said in his words. I'm going to turn your captivity right before your eyes. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. Yep, that's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 20. He said that. Let me go to that one. Lord, have mercy. You know, Lord, have mercy. You know, and it's like, wow. Yes, Lord, have mercy. It's just a lot. He said, and at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Most High. It's incredible. Some incredible stuff happening right now, you know, and all we can do is watch. It's unfortunate, you know, that wow. And the man was like, you know, when you treat people like animals, after a while they start acting like animals. And it's like, wow. I mean, wow. This is a lot. Ooh. Incredible. It's some incredible stuff going on. It's incredible. All you can say is, my goodness. Because this is where we are. I mean, this is truly where we are. And we have come. This is incredible. I mean, wow. Anybody else have anything to say about all of this? Because, I mean, you know, I've been watching it all night long. Hold on one moment. Hold on one more. Let me get this going here.
Thank you for that. Stay with me. We have now Dahlia Romashkin with us with another terrible personal story. Thank you very much, Dahlia, for joining us. Your sister Olga went to the concert, the party over there in the South. What do you know about her?
The last time I spoken to her was 8 o'clock yesterday, on Saturday. She went to the party on Friday night, and she was supposed to be at home by noon, but we just woke up to the sound of sirens, and I just, after the sirens quieted down, I just reached out to her. I called her, and she answered, and she said that the party was closed. Everyone just went home. They went to their car and just the last thing that she sent me was her location near Re'im parking lot, and it was just devastating. I opened the news. I told her there is a sudden attack, and she just told me that everyone just started running when the sirens started into their location. Everyone just went out to the fields. This is what we are supposed to do. When you are not in a building with a safe place in a shelter, you're just supposed to be in an open space. You don't know where the missile lands.
What do you know to this moment? What do you know about her?
I have no idea where she is. We have no information. I went to the police center today to give some DNA samples. I gave her hairbrush, toothbrush, and I just have no one said anything about her.
Daya, I wish you get good news. This is your mother also in the background. We wish you all all the best, and we hope you'll get good news. Thank you very much for speaking with us. We're now going to go to listen to the President of Israel, Isaac Herzog, with a statement.
Life to always be prepared and armed, strong and firm. Or if we drop the sword, our lives will come to an end. This despicable act that started on the Sabbath and on a holiday as they crossed the border and then attacked the communities near the border is an immense sin, a sin led not only by a murderous terrorist organization, but led by an axis of evil with the base in Iran, with its metastasis acting time and again to undermine us, our spirit, our sovereignty, who we are as a nation, as a state. My brothers and sisters, we are at war, a war for our home, and we shall prevail and win. Our country has always fought from the day it was born on its right to exist, on our right to be a free people in our country. Facing enemies time and again, we show our unbreakable spirit, our resilience. We overcome as lions, and we find the power of our spirit come out of the depths of sorrow and bereavement, and we launch attacks on the enemy and strike it, and we prove to them that we are here for good, eternal, on our land, in our country, winning and building more and more floors to replace those who have been collapsed. And we are facing in these upcoming days an extensive war. Such a war does not end overnight. And this kind of war also has psychological features that I would like to emphasize to you. Our enemies are exerting immense psychological efforts through cyber attacks and disseminating fake news and reports and false videos in order to scare us and frighten us. They think that this is going to weaken us, but they are wrong. There is an undisputable fact here. This time as well, the state of Israel shall prevail. We have no other choice. My beloved citizens of Israel, my dear citizens, I know how difficult and painful this is, but the Israeli spirit has always prevailed, and it shall triumph this time as well. Just a few hours ago, I visited the...
All righty, y'all. Let's move on. Okay. Area code 214, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've been watching, and as you said, it's really interesting. But a couple of things that struck me. One is very much illustrated in what you just played, and that's the underlying premise that these are the people. Mm-hmm. She was talking about, you know, being blessed and being here forever and being a nation. And so I think this is at the crux of what's going on. A lot of support that I have seen for them, for the nation of, quote-unquote, Israel, is because they are the chosen people, or so people think. And so... A couple of, just last week I think it was, in South Africa, there's a push being made to ban the showing of Ron Dalton's film in the entire country. They say it's never been done before. Film banned throughout the entire country. It will be something that will be punishable by a sentence of some sort. And so there was a
for
push being
made.
Watching
the film?
Or just watching the film. If you go to Ben Ayaz's website, he has a YouTube website. He has actually asked for support for people to come and write petitions to say that this is unacceptable. But yes, this was just being done because they do not want who we are being broadcast, and they are making every effort to make sure that that message does not get out. And so now you have this going on, but the key question is, are you the people? Are you the people? And the expectation is that they are going to triumph because they are the people. But if we're reading those reading those scriptures, that scripture says that Ashkelon, the people that are there, are going to be, it's going to be demolished. And then Gaza is going to be demolished too. That means that whole area is going to really be impacted negatively. So no one is going to come out of there from what I was reading, because I was reading the scriptures today. So that's one thing. And I can definitely see that being one of the key questions that comes to the fore. Right now, there's every effort being made to suppress that question being asked. Are you the people? And if so, how are you the people? Because my understanding is also that President Biden just gave them $80 billion pledged $80 billion in support in terms of logistics, and I don't know how much of it's money, but $80 billion. And then before that, he just pledged $100 billion to Ukraine. Now, I heard somebody say that's $22 million a day. I haven't done the math, but, I mean, that's an incredible amount of money based on the fact that these are the people. They're supposed to be our ally, but one of the reasons they're the ally of the United States, when I say our, is because that underlying fundamental premise is you bless those who bless Israel will be blessed. And as I read through comments, I keep seeing this over and over and over, but they are not the people. And so as I watch this, my question is, when will this come to the fore? I'm just waiting, because I know that this has been something that has been the push. So it's... And like I said, this is ongoing right now in South Africa, where they are making, and it's a Jewish organization that's making a concerted effort to be, have it be made into law, that movie cannot be shown.
And wow.
Also, how long can the United States keep giving $100 billion, $80 billion? It's like we're bankrupting ourselves. And then the sister says that we may have a nuclear strike. Well, I have no idea, but I do know that when I read Revelation 18, this place will be destroyed in 1 hour. And I was listening to someone the other day, and they said, how long does it take for a missile to get from Russia to the United States? Basically 30 minutes. You have 30 minutes warning. And that's if it comes from there. Now, it may come from somewhere else. But, I mean, there are so many things that are at play here, and it all boils down to who are the true children of Israel.
Yeah. Because they have been occupiers of the land for a long time. They have been occupiers of the name, of the identity for a long time. You know, and it's like, wow. I mean, you know, that's all I can say is wow.
Yeah, I'm watching. I'm watching to see when that question will come to the fore, because we know that we have to be revealed as the people, and it's not going to be a mystery. It's not like we're going to sneak out of here in the middle of the night. Everyone will know we are the children of Israel. So that has to be made known. I have no idea how that's going to be, but I'm watching all of this, and I was also watching the protests. Believe me, there are a lot of people who would love to ask this question, because they said, you are not supposed to be there. This is, as you said, this is not our fight. We don't have a dog in this fight. I'm just watching, because there's nothing that I can do except watch and try to understand exactly what it is that I'm watching. I'm watching prophecy unfolding, but I'm watching it in a way that I didn't necessarily expect, because I'm like, the whole issue with who we are seems to me be the underlying, it's the key to this entire scenario.
Yeah, we got to go back to the land of Canaan. That's the word. That's what the word said, irregardless to who tries to block what, who tries to ban what, you know, whatever is whatever, but his word is not going to come back void. It's not.
Right.
We got to go back home.
And if that's the case, they cannot prevail. I don't see how they prevail, because they are not supposed to be in the land according to the scriptures, and even according to what you just read in Zephaniah, that land's going to be cleared.
Well, now, you know what? That's where I kind of disagree, but I understand what you're saying, because that area, like we showed yesterday, that Ashkelon, Ekron, Ashdod, and Gaza Strip is all an area. That's not... has anything to do with Tel Aviv or Jerusalem or anything like that. But they have to play their part because the prophecies have to be fulfilled with the Antichrist and the this and the that and the building of the temple and all those things have to take place. But I, like I said yesterday, I'm more concerned with Genesis 15, 13, and 14. We cannot do half of the prophecy and not finish the other half. So he said he was bringing us, we were going to come out with great substance. So we know we're coming out with great substance. And then if Africa has gone as far as it has gone with what you said, not allowing the movie to be played and making it as offensive as breaking the law, everybody's trying to run to Africa or be on the continent of Africa. And those people are the heat. That is still not Israel, even though I think that we can't get past the fact that we have the same skin color. I think that's what it is. We have to be able to embrace that we are the Israelites and that the powers that be that are over in Israel are Esau. And Esau the Most High has to allow certain things to happen because Jacob's children, the children that are in America that have done the 400 years, have to go back to the land of Canaan. That's prophecy, and they know it. Well, whether there is still a part of the land or what, however he chooses to do it, we have done the 400 years. You cannot complete half of the prophecy and not the other half. We have gone through the 400 years. This nation has acknowledged that it is the nation that we have served for 400 years. We are watching the judgment of this nation. And the only thing left is to come out with great substance. That's it. I try not to go any further than that because we have to fulfill that first, you know. And then if you go to Ezekiel 38, it's talking about a land that was that without walls or villages, an unwalled village. We're right on the seacoast. And Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1 through 8 talks about us living in that same area on the coast of Gaza in the cities of Ascalon, Ashdod and Ekron. All of that's there. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm just watching to see what's going on because we have no control over this. All we can do is watch. But one thing I do know about our Elohim, and whether people like it or not, when he gets ready to do something, he turns people against each other so they fight each other. And I just don't think that this is a coincidence. Because there's too many times that we've read in the scripture about him where he said, I'm going to turn them against each other, and they will fight each other. Or I'm going to whisper a word in his ear, and he's going to go back to his town where he's going to be taken out. I mean, he's done things like that that we know about that nobody really wants to. They don't know him that way. So I don't know. I can't say one way or the other too exact if that's what it is, but I know it's very interesting that this is going on. And all of a sudden, nobody knew nothing about it. And all of a sudden, it took everybody by surprise. I'm like that one lady. I'm not buying that. I just don't believe it took anybody by surprise. Maybe the people, the citizens, but with all this technology, Brother Williams said it yesterday, with all these satellites and all this technology, and you got the CIA and you got Mossad, that's their CIA, and you got all of the people, MI5 and all the, nobody heard nothing.
I think that's a good point.
It seems like it keeps going. It's the second day. 700, they're still fighting. And they're talking about that there was no way Hamas could have did this on their own. They had to have some support from somebody else. And, of course, they're pointing the finger at Iran. They're saying Iran has something to do with it. Well, and you know, and then one lady said, well, I know Russia's behind it. I mean, you know, it's just like, wow. Wow. And then America is sending ships toward Israel.
And some would say $80 billion in support.
Yeah, with a B.
with a B.
Billion with a B, for real. It's like, wow. I mean, you know, like I said, it's always unfortunate to see a loss of life. You know, nobody can be that insensitive to the point where that doesn't bother you. It's always unfortunate to see dead people laying in the streets. You know, unsuspecting people, motorcyclists in the street, women and people being taken hostage. That's always hard to see. However, how could you not have known this was coming? Unless it was the Elohim's doing. Unless it was the Elohim's doing. Because we've got to go back to the land of Canaan. Those cities have to be cleaned out. They have to be cleaned out. According to Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. It has to be cleaned out. So how could you have not known that this was getting ready to happen? What prompted this to start you all to fighting each other like this? And killing each other? Incredible.
Oh, it's this has been long in the making. This was in the making when back in 1947. That's when this all started. this is the end result. Come in and the people are already there, and you take the land and you set up checkpoints, and you basically set up a system that parallels that of South Africa, and then people are supposed to just knuckle under and take it, and that's a no.
You know, and unfortunately, the Most High, he leaves room for no one. Because I see you, Brother Yerushalayim. He even mentioned the Philistines, which is Palestinian. He even mentions that. He's like, you got to move out. Judah has to come back home. And I know that they're listening to us all over the world. I know everybody's listening to see what our reaction is. And everybody's listening to see whether or not we're politically correct. And again, like I said, it is unfortunate that lives have to be lost. Because war brings a loss of life. But if this is the Most High's doing, we have to go back to the land of Canaan. And everybody's been blocking it and trying to keep it from not happening and trying to ignore the fact that we exist. And if this is him, his word is not going to come back void. Hold on, let me open this mic. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, Sister Ayin.
Shalom, shalom.
Yeah, spot on. We have to go back to that land. And they were talking here a little while ago today that the Palestinians, a lot of them are fleeing Gaza now because they're scared the Israelis are going to just level the place. So they fleeing, so they leaving that area. But I agree with you. There's no way on earth that they didn't know this coming with all that intelligence they got with Mossad and all this. They know what's going on in this country.
Don't
you know, and they didn't know what was going on in their own country. I just find that a little odd.
Everybody's saying that. They're saying that on this thing I was playing. He was like, they're going to call for the resignation of generals, military leaders. You know, Netanyahu's going to answer for the fact that this went on under his watch. You know, but it doesn't matter whose watch it was. Whether it was Netanyahu, whether it was whoever's going to come next. If this is the Most High's doing, nobody could stop it anyway.
No.
Because Judah has to come back home. And that is to all of the Edomites, Esau's children. Yehuda has to come back home. And this is prophecy. It just is. And I like I said, it's unfortunate that it had to be done this way because you know, but he said to the land that was brought back by the sword. That we were going back to the land that was brought back by the sword. Now, the thing is about it, though, when you really do go into Ezekiel chapter 38 and you really begin to read that, if Russia and all of the other countries are going to guard us, it's not going to be in the hands of the Edomites that are in Israel. It's not.
Nope.
It can't be. But Yehuda has to go, the royal house, the 20 souls that walked into America on August the 18th, 1619, or August 20th, 1619, the 20 souls that came over that have birthed the African-American, so-called African-American people, those 20 souls that walked in and created whatever lineage, how many ever of us that it is, we have to go back home. The royal house of King Dawid and the Levitical tribe and the tribe of Benjamin that are here in America have to go back to the land of Canaan. We have to go back home. That's scripture.
Yep.
I told you he'll have you sitting on the edge of your seat. You'd be like, wow. This came out of nowhere.
This is like a litmus test. They're saying we're the people. The Most High is on our side. We cannot lose because this is our land. He's promised it to us. If they do not prevail, that throws everything into question. So you have all of this military might and support going behind them. Like I said, $80 billion to try and ensure that they win. If they do not, there's a question. And to me, that ties in what I pulled this little, it's in the community section of Benaya Israel's page. I just want to read the first paragraph. It says, alert, please share and spread this message. Greetings, African Israelite brothers and sisters of the diaspora. Call to action, request our African Israelite brothers and sisters, request to our African Israelite brothers and sisters for an injustice in progress in South Africa. An Ashkenazi Jewish organization called South African Jewish Board of Deputies is attempting to make it illegal to view Ron Dalton's film, Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America in South Africa. If the South African Jewish Board of Deputies' malicious plans are successful, it would make anyone in South Africa viewing the film a criminal, fined, and potentially imprisoned. I won't read the entire thing, but that's going on right now. This was 3 days ago that this was posted. So there is a concerted effort to suppress this information. On the other hand, you have this that has just jumped off, and this is an effort to make sure that they conform with this expectation that the Most High is going to make them triumph in the face of adversity, going to establish them as the nation. I see a lot of things in play here.
That's why I had to come up yesterday. I mean, I understand the brother's page, but just to be clear, I'm not an African Hebrew Israelite. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I'm not African. I don't come from the I'm not from the Hamites. I'm not a Hamite. I'm an Israelite. And there's a difference between that. And like I said, I'm going to keep pushing that no matter what. I don't, you know, because South Africa is basically ran by the Edomites. They run that too. And it's ran by the Gentiles, and they run that too. So I'm concerned about, and not against you or anything like that. My main concern is to let the Israelites know that the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Levi, and the tribe of Benjamin that are in America have to go back to the land of Canaan. The whole Ron Dalton thing and the whole we wrote the book and the whole he ran to Africa and the whole all of that, you know, is that. That's that. I mean, you know, whatever the purpose was and whatever it was meant to do, that's that. But right now they are fighting in the exact location, Sister Yusantia, that's in Zephaniah chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I understand all of that, but I also see things as being related. And I understand your point, the point that you're making as well. But when I look at it, I'm thinking at the bottom of it all is who are the people? And the thing
exactly.
Is
exactly, we are. And guess what? We have to go first. We have to be the trailblazers. Judah has to go first. Because even the people that are in the land don't profess to be a tribe. They don't profess to be Jacob's children. They profess to be Abraham's children. But Jacob had 12 sons and 12 tribes that made up one nation. So we are the ones that did that 400-year stint, and we were the ones that was punished. So we're the ones that have to go first, and we have to go back to the land of Canaan. And they're fighting in the very area that's specified in Zephaniah chapter 2. Not the land of Africa, not South Africa, not a whole nother Jerusalem in Africa. They're fighting on the land of Gaza, right there at Ascalon, Ekron, and Ashdod. That's in Zephaniah chapter 2.
Yes, and extend Gaza.
I can't still talk. That cannot be a coincidence.
Yeah, it says Gaza shall be forsaken. So just as the brother said, people are leaving. Ashkelon, a desolation. And if I understood correctly, Ashkelon is the city that was bombed when they came across. And Ashkelon, a desolation. And my understanding is that a lot of people that are in that area are going back to Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I'm saying. On the seacoast, we're on the seacoast. There has to be a place. The Most High, he put in his word is not going to return unto him void. It's just not. This cannot be a coincidence. It just cannot be. This thing is not, this is incredible. I mean, this is incredible. There's some incredible stuff right here.
There are no coincidences. This is my brother used to always say, there are no coincidences. Nothing gets past the Most High. He knows every hair on our head. He is very methodical and meticulous. He put this whole universe together, an ever-expanding universe from what I can. He's always constantly creating. He does not make a mistake. Things are not random, and there are no coincidences.
Incredible. It's just incredible. I mean, this is just incredible. I mean, it's incredible. This cannot be it just can't be. It's not by chance. He just leaves you with your mouth hung open. You're like, wow. Wow. I mean, you know, we said all along, it's going to happen just like the 400 years did. You know, we was telling everybody, it's coming. You know, and we've been looking for this land that's been brought back by the sword. We've been looking for it wherever it's going to be. I mean, however he going to do it. But it specifically says that Judah was going to inhabit these places and going to live in the houses of Ascalon. Incredible. You know, and guess what? And if our God is true, and we know he is, and his word don't come back void, we're going to be able to take that to the bank. That's something that nobody's going to be able to stop. You're not going to be able to stop it. It's just not going to stop. It just cannot be a coincidence. I mean, really. They talking about this is the darkest day ever in Israel. This is worse than the Six-Day War. And these people are dying, innocent people, men, women, and children. And no one knew this was coming. And this is terrible. And it is that people are dying. It's terrible that people are dying anytime people are killed in war. It is a terrible thing. Men, women, and children. But the Most High just spoke this in his word. How is it going to be desolate? How is it going to be forsaken? What's happening? They're fighting.
Oh.
Everybody and their mama should be sitting in front of the TV at this point. Like, what? What in the world is going? This can't be coincidence. It just can't be. You know? Everybody come, where are we going? Well, where are you taking us to? Well, we got to go. We do that. We probably will go back through Africa to get where we're going. But we're going back. He just said we were going to inhabit this place. He just said it in his word. It just can't be a coincidence. I mean, I don't know. It's just unbelievable.
I don't think it's a coincidence either. It just can't be. You know, it's just too much happening too fast. And I think things are going to get faster. I think as the next few months play out, things will get faster and faster. We're going to see more things that's going to confirm to us what's going on and what we're doing.
And you know what, Brother Urasami, it reminds me of the conversation that I was having with my uncle. And he was like, Do you realize that this is a big old world out there? I do. It's a big old world out there. It's mm-hmm. commerce. It's trading. It's countries. It's borders. It's all. I know it is. He said, this is a big old world out there. Do you realize? In other words, what you're talking about is so unbelievable that the world is still turning, and it's just for this to happen, there has to be a major interruption in everything. That's what our Elohim does.
Yep.
He just interrupts the whole, because you know why? Because he rules in the kingdom of men. He'll step into the ordinary and the secure and just shake it all the way up to the point where everybody is just shocked, like, what in the world is going on? That's how much he's not going to let his word come back void.
Yeah,
that's what he do. And everybody is sitting around with their mouth hung open like, wow. Like, wow. Wow. And I said, if another country step up and help, it's on. And I'm sitting there mm-hmm. like, oh, my goodness. It's they talking about Lebanon. They worried about Lebanon getting in it. And they worried about Iran getting in it. And they just sent Iran billions and billions of dollars. Supposedly for humanitarian and medications and food. It's a man, please.
Yep.
And they were saying that Hamas couldn't have put this together on their own. They attacked by land, by sea, and by air.
You know, and they did it with really unsophisticated weapons.
Yeah.
They did it. But if you looked at those hang gliders, it looked like a what you call them thing, a go-kart with a big fan on the back. That's what
Rubbing that rock bomb, like. A slingshot and a rock.
Yep, that's what
okay.
I was doing.
A slingshot and a rock. Incredible. And has done that much damage. A slingshot and a
yeah.
rock.
No.
It's just it's incredible. Wow. I just, you know. And I think that that's why everybody is so devastated and shocked, because they have all of this sophisticated machinery, all of this cyber technology, all of this stuff is going on, and they did it with a slingshot and a rock.
Yep.
It's incredible. And they're shocked. They can't believe something could be done like that. But that's how he operates when he wants something to get done. Then we just talk about he takes the black sheep, the underdog.
Uh-huh.
Crucial.
Well, I'm thinking of something else, because people are saying, how could they have done that? Where was the Iron Dome? How could they have done that? And so we sit here in the United States and we don't have an Iron Dome. We don't have shelters. And so I'm wondering if this is like a setup for people who shake confidence, that's for sure, because if they can't be protected with the most sophisticated things that people know, because Mossad is supposed to be this, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of most countries in terms of their defense and their preparation, if that's the case, then where are we, especially as the sister pointed out, our leadership is in shambles. And we don't have the things in place that they seemingly had in place. And yet, as you said, a slingshot and a rock.
A slingshot and a rock.
Makes us have to wonder about how vulnerable we are, especially with that southern border. Like, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's
so it shakes public confidence, if nothing else. Then that may be deliberate.
It's getting interesting. Like I said, I mean, you know, we can't do nothing but watch. But when you look, when you know the Elohim of Israel, you know the Elohim of Israel. And then you have people claiming to be the children of Israel or the chosen people. Why would he allow something like that to happen to you? We When you know him the way he has introduced himself to us, you know what he does when it's time for his word to be fulfilled. He moves everything, every mountain, every rock, every government, everybody is going to do what he wants them to do, and he's going to upset everybody's normal life. Your normal is going to be upset. It's going to be changed. He's going to come in and upset it all. And right now the whole world is watching Israel. Like, wait a minute, hold on. Hand gliders. Hand gliders, bulldozers, and guns, and trucks. A slingshot in a rock.
You know, speaking on that Iron Dome thing, they was looking at it, and what actually happened is that they sent in 5,000 rockets at one time, and it just overwhelmed that computerized system.
They said it was a cyber attack. They said it was a cyber attack. Well, that's what they say, but you know what you just said. They said, well, we hit by a cyber attack, air, by land, by sea. How?
Oh. But, you know, if it's in the will of the Most High, and this is like you said earlier, if this is what's supposed to happen, there is nothing they can do to stop it.
No, sure can't. Not nothing. It's going to change everything. It's going to change everything. Because he is not going to allow his word to come back void. He's just not. I don't care what nobody says. He dropped that in somebody's mind and say, on this day, I want you to do this thing. And this is what they did. And this is how they did it. With a slingshot and a rock. Incredible. With a slingshot and a rock. Incredible. Hand gliders and go-karts attached to them. So they look like just regular tourists. You know what I'm saying? Gliding through the sky. They broke down the wall, the barrier wall, with a bulldozer and just came on through. They taking over villages and stuff, going house to house, dragging people out their houses.
Yep. I don't know what scripture it is. Especially, I'm not big on remembering the exact scripture, but I know what I read, and it's a scripture that talks about, at some point in some time, the women of Israel, the women of that nation, the people that are living in there, that those women are going to be raped and ravished.
Their houses ravaged.
Killed.
That's Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6.
Yep,
that's what it is. Yep, their houses ravaged. Isaiah 13 and 6. It's Isaiah chapter 13. Yes, indeed. That's been crazy. Yes, it does. That's what it says. My goodness. Yes, indeed. This is when the giants is supposed to come. You know, that's when his mighty ones are coming. It says, "For the day of the Most High cometh," verse 8, "cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, and lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the center thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughty of the terrible. And I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold wage of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Most High of hosts in the day of his fierce anger." Hold on one more. Where does it say that? It says, oh, here you go. He says, "And it shall be as the chased roe, as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through. And everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes," that's Russia, "against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bow also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. See, this is what this is the part that the most high, these people don't want to know this kind of Elohim, because see, they want to preach this. He all about love.
Yo.
They don't want to know this one. It is crucial. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when Yah overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolation, houses and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. It's going to be ugly. Ugly. It's just unbelievable. Hold on. Let me play one more. I got something else. Hold on, you guys. Hold on.
You, a U.S. military official telling Fox News, the U.S. is moving Navy ships and military aircraft closer to Israel. Again, a U.S. military official telling Fox News, the U.S. is moving Navy ships and military aircraft closer to Israel. This is as we continue to follow what some in Israel are calling their 9/11. So far, at least 600 reportedly killed in yesterday's savage attacks by Hamas terrorists. And we are learning more about the U.S. military, again, what they're doing in response. We have Lucas Tomlinson. He is live at the White House. And as soon as Lucas is ready to get in front of the camera, we'll take you there. Lucas, what more can you tell us? I want to ask you, what is this signal, and where were these Navy ships stationed?
Warthel, you had the USS Bataan. That's an amphibious assault ship that was already on station in the Persian Gulf. That ship will have 2,000 Marines on board and dozens of aircraft. It is not an aircraft carrier, though. It'll have the VSOL, the vertical short takeoff and landing aircraft. That'll be like a Harrier, a Marine Corps Harrier, also a Joint Strike Fighter. You also have those Vipers. Those are Marine Corps attack helicopters, similar to some of our older viewers know, the Cobras, and also Huey gunships. So those will be in the Persian Gulf. Not quite clear if they're going to be leaving the Persian Gulf, but however, of course, what's right there? You have Iran, so you'd want to make sure a naval presence is right there. Now, you also, in the Mediterranean, you have the USS Gerald Ford strike group. You have any kind of aircraft carrier strike group will have a number of Navy escorts. You'll have cruisers. You'll have guided missile destroyers, and normally even the Navy doesn't talk about it much. You'll also have a submarine as well. Now, the big question is, will Hamas know that these ships have been moved closer? You know, right now, it appears only the Israeli forces would know this, and also, of course, through the press reports. But, you know, how close are those going to get? Of course, territorial waters extend 12 miles offshore. Not likely you're going to have a U.S. warship on the horizon, RFL. So this appears to be a very symbolic move. But there is some concern on Capitol Hill if there are American hostages that Hamas captured yesterday. Will the U.S. military spin up and deploy Tier 1 Special Operations Forces, hostage rescue forces, to aid Israel in the recapture of, again, potentially American hostages? Secretary of State Antony Blinken was on the Sunday shows earlier. He said that is a possibility. These are reports right now. We cannot confirm that independently. They're running this down. Did Hamas also capture American citizens? You know, of course, American citizens perhaps with a dual nationality, Arthur.
Yeah, and we're looking live here at 7:56 p.m. local time in Gaza. Explosion is still happening. This war is red hot, Lucas. You said this is symbolic. We will see how the follow-through unfolds. Thank you very much, Lucas Tomlinson.
There you have it, y'all. I mean, this is going to get real, real, real interesting if they keep it up, for real.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
But now, if Russia, now let's go back to Ezekiel 38, it says, what we say, it says, And where we go? Let's go to, here we go, y'all. We're going to be here. And the word of the Most High came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal and prophesy against him and say, Thus saith the Most High Elohim, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaw, and I will bring thee forth, and all thy army, horses, and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, who is that Persia? Who is Persia, Brother Yerushalayim?
That's Iran.
That's Iran, right there. Ethiopia, we know Ethiopia, and Libya with them, and all of them with shields and helmets. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, that's Turkey and all them, and of the northern quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be a guard, what? Unto them. So they're going to be guarding somebody. The Most High said, I'm getting ready to recruit all of you all to come together and to guard somebody. Watch. He says, in many days shall thou be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land, what land? Israel, that is brought back from the sword. So there's a war that's going to take place. And is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. He said, Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Most High Elohim, It shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. That's it. There you go, Brother Yerushalayim. He putting that evil thought into their mind. Okay, now I need you to do this. The master puzzle maker, the master he don't play. The master strategist. Watch what he says. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. Watch what he said. To take a spoil or to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nation which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Who is it? He said, Sheba and Dedan, the merchant of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? It says, Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, Thus saith the Most High Elohim, In that day when my people Israel dwelleth safely, safely shall thou not know it. He's talking about us. So if that's the case, and we are where we are, this is getting interesting.
This is getting very interesting.
This is getting interesting.
I'm angry.
Because we got to go somewhere. And if they already making it impossible for Africa to be even a drop-off place, and they're not even letting his movie being seen, they already setting the stage. We got to go back to the land of Canaan. So, I mean, nobody wants anybody to die. Nobody wants anybody to lose their life. Nobody wants that. Nobody does. But when he's saying it's going to be a land that's been taken back by the sword, and the land that they're fighting in is the very land that he has said that Judah would inhabit it? I mean, what?
Like the sister said earlier, there ain't no coincidences.
None. Incredible. Incredible. And he done took the whole world by surprise because these people were not supposed to be able to do what they've done. These people didn't have the capabilities to do what they have done. And to take them and catch them off guard. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. This is technically impossible. Just like Goliath. They laughed at David. They said, you're going to do what with what? I'm going to take care of this with this slingshot. You see how big he is? He is 10 feet tall. And you think you're going to take him down with a slingshot and a rock? That's why the scripture said he uses the simple thing to confound the wise. He do. Shoot. Ooh, shoot. Shoot, shoot, shoot. I am serious. It's like, wow. They glided in on them with a mammy made hand glider and a go kart attached to it from the air. They ain't even have no plane. That's unbelievable. That's unreal. I mean, that is not real. Is that real?
No.
Wow. That's incredible. I'm telling you, it's incredible. I've never seen anything. A slingshot and a rock. A slingshot. Area code 228, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, shalom, family.
Shalom.
And Sister Yaina, and I forget your brother's name. But where you think that we're going to be here 2030?
I don't know, sis. I don't know. I doubt it. I hope not. I hope we won't be here that long. I really do.
Yeah.
I hope not. I really do. I know we have to go first before everybody else goes. Judah has to go first. You know, and you know, we have to. We the ones that served the 400 years. I don't know when, where, how, and what. I don't know. I really don't. I just know. The one thing I can stand on is that he's not going to allow his word to come back void. I can tell you that much.
Yes,
I don't know. His word is not going to come back void.
So did Israel retaliate back like
they did years ago?
They're fighting
now.
What'd you say? They're fighting now?
Yes, they're fighting right now. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure are.
Boy,
they say get ready for a long, long war. It's going to be a long one, too.
Yeah.
There are also protests. I was watching one in New York, one in Florida. I think there are probably a lot of them going on here in the United States.
What are they protesting?
Well, are they sending any American troops over?
Yes, they just said they were sending Navy ships over toward Israel. Yes. They're sending Navy ships over to watch Iran. Because, you know, if Iran get in it, Russia getting in it. Those are the Medes and the Persians. They are coming together. I mean, this is incredible. This is some incredible stuff. I mean, seriously. But he always do. He leave you with your mouth. Everybody that knows prophecy is sitting on the edge of their seat right now like, what? Thank you, sis, for bringing that to our attention yesterday. I had completely forgot about that scripture because this just happened yesterday. She brought that to our attention yesterday. Man, oh, man.
And it's just out of the blue.
Out of the blue. Out of the blue.
Not with no fussing with amongst them or nothing?
No, ma'am. Out of the blue. Out of the blue. They caught him off guard. Out of the blue. And hit him on the Sabbath day when everybody was in the house.
Yep, sure did.
Now, you know, they did that to Israel
war fighting them on the Sabbath.
Well, hit them on the Sabbath day when everybody was shut down. Sure did.
Well, is Russia still in Ukraine?
Huh?
Is Russia still fighting Ukraine?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. That's what I've been saying all day. Like, I've been like, wow. I mean, for real. You just be like, wow. They didn't see it coming. They did not see it coming. Incredible.
I think Ukraine and Russia will have the same fate because they're the same people from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Yippers.
Yep. They try their best, and you know what? And all of them are Muslims. All of the ones that they're killing in Palestine is Muslims. So they are rooting them on in Iran. They rooting them on in Lebanon. They rooting them on all over the world. All of them is Muslims. Incredible, y'all. This is some serious stuff. This is some serious stuff right here. This is the kind of stuff that changes the world dynamics. This is some serious stuff. It is. Now, guess what? If we hear any newscasters come on and say this is just like a slingshot in a rock, you know they listening to us.
Yep.
This is. It's just like a slingshot in a rock. It's incredible. It's terrible. Nothing to be made light of. Anytime somebody has to lose their life in war, it's a terrible thing. But this is the Most High's doing. Nobody's going to be able to stop it. Nobody. You're not going to be able to stop it. There ain't nothing you're going to be able to say or do. Here we go. Check this out. Here we go.
The situation in the Middle East. More than 700 Israelis have now reportedly been killed by the attacks from Hamas militants. Retaliation attacks against Gaza continue as dozens of warplanes carry out airstrikes inside the Palestinian enclave. Palestine's health ministry says at least 413 people there have been killed. Buildings and vehicles in Tel Aviv have sustained heavy damage as a result of Hamas's rocket barrages. A growing number of flights in and out of the city have been cancelled or diverted as a result. John Sparks begins our coverage.
The destruction on display in Israeli cities has come as a terrible shock to residents. In Tel Aviv, rockets fired by a militant group, Hamas, slammed into apartments and residential streets. But the psychological impact is worse. Hundreds of Israelis were killed in a bloody day of fighting, many of them civilians, shot at home, on their farms, in their communities. It is an unthinkable calamity for the state of Israel. In Sderot, militants gun down people on city streets, an implausible breach of security for residents. To see terrorists shooting from all over, just shooting and killing innocent civilians, that's something abnormal in Israel. Where's the army? Where's the government? In an intense battle, Israeli forces have retaken Sderot's police station, killing at least 10 militants in the process. But an army spokesman said they were still fighting in 8 other locations. Israel's Defense Force has recalled 10,000 reserves, many now operational in southern Israel. And the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said the military would soon turn to offensive operations.
All the places where Hamas hides and operates from, we will turn them into cities of ruins. I say to the residents of Gaza, get out of there now, because we will act everywhere and with all strength.
But residents of Gaza cannot avoid the conflict, because there's no way to leave this overpopulated strip. And it has been targeted with more than 400 Israeli airstrikes. Local officials say 13 residential tower blocks have been destroyed. An unknown number of Israelis are being held in Gaza, captured by the militants during the assault. Their safety will complicate Israel's response. And Sky News understands that two British men are missing, including 26-year-old Jake Marlowe. He was at a music festival in southern Israel and has not been heard from since yesterday. And a Briton serving in the Israeli army has lost his life. 20-year-old Nathanael Young from London was killed on the Gaza border, according to his family. The Israeli Prime Minister warns of a long and difficult war, with an armed incursion into Gaza considered likely. The prospect of peace looks dim. John?
Wow, y'all. This is really going on. It's just a lot. It is just a lot. They coming against them in every turn, man. Every turn, they coming against them. Every turn. Y'all still there? Hello?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on. I got one more for you. This is in Lebanon. Hold on. Let me see if they talking this. This is in Lebanon.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
These people is fighting.
And as we've been reporting, Hezbollah fighters have shelled territory under Israeli occupation with mortar strikes. Israel has fired artillery following that. Shabab Farms is situated along the border between Lebanon and Syria's Golan Heights, which was occupied by Israel in 1967. Zeina Khoura joins us now live from southern Lebanon. Let's start with the location where Hezbollah fired upon. How significant is it that it chose the Shabab Farms rather than an area in the south along the border with Israel?
Well, yes. Hezbollah treading carefully, trying to avoid a wider confrontation, but sending a message to the Israelis that we are here, we are ready to join the fight. Shabab is a territory that is occupied by Israel, seen by Lebanon as its own territory. So Hezbollah saying that this is a legitimate fight, but in its statement also saying that it is showing solidarity with the Palestinian people who are fighting the Israelis. And a short while ago, a high-ranking Hezbollah official really made the group's position even clearer. He said that we are not staying neutral in this conflict. In his words, today we sent a message through the attack that was carried out in Shabab, and this Israel should understand this clearly. And in his words, Israel and the United States should stop this stupidity. That was the word that they used. Stop this stupidity, or else the whole region will be involved in this war. So basically saying that. The equation that Hezbollah has established, unifying the fronts of the different Lebanese armed groups as well as Palestinian armed groups, part of the so-called axis of resistance, will come together and wage this war together. So this is the message coming from Hezbollah at the moment. There is a cautious calm along the border just behind me. On top of that hill is the Israeli position that was targeted in the early hours of the morning.
There you have it. Woo! Lord, have mercy. He said the land that was brought back by the sword. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said to the land that was brought back by the sword. This is interesting, boy. Woo. Well, any comments? Anybody have anything to say?
This is what I'm watching now, y'all.
Huh?
It's just about watching this go, this unfold now. Are we in uncharted territory?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We can't do nothing but watch. You know? And this is all done jumped off. I don't know what. This is, you know, all that. As soon as they talk about peace, peace, all hell done broke loose. I told you they cheering them on in Iran. They cheering them on everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Everywhere. They cheering them on everywhere. Hold on, let me pull this up real quick so you can hear. This is crazy. This is crazy. Listen. They sending up things like it's the 4th of July. Like it's the 4th of July. They sending up stuff like it's the 4th of July. I mean, they got flags flying, everything. They are in the street with flags and stuff flying because of what they did in Israel.
That tells you something alone.
Huh?
That just tells you something right there, how bad that hatred they have for Israel is.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, well, let's bring in Morgan Ortega, former State Department spokesperson and founder of Polaris National Security. Morgan, it feels like we're in uncharted territory here, even though we're talking about a region that is historically quite volatile. You just heard
That is incredible. That's incredible. But, yeah, they egging them on. Like, yeah, I mean, they got fireworks and everything going up in the air, flags flying and everything. Because you got to understand that Israel is already volatile anyway because the Palestinians have that whole Dome of the Rock thing. You know, they got a whole war going on right there in Jerusalem where the temple is supposed to be at. Shoot. Well, I mean, he'll have you sitting on the edge of your seat. Like, what in the world? It is happening now.
Yeah, people better be watching now because there ain't no telling what's going to happen. I think every day it's going to be something.
Yeah, he said it's going to be a long one. It's going to be a long one. And if Iran get in it, Russia getting in it. That's just how it is. That's how it goes. Mm-hmm. If Iran get in it, Russia getting in it. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. I don't really, you know, I don't know. What do y'all have to say? Anybody?
Well, I want to say this. I was actually listening to someone who was trying to use Daniel to explain what was going on. So people don't know what they're looking at. They're still trying to do the right thing. They're still thinking, this is not Daniel.
They still trying to make the rapture happen. They still trying to make the last days come about. They don't want to accept that we're Israel. So, you know, they go back to Daniel and Revelations and all that stuff and try to say, see, this is when the war, the Antichrist, the tribulation is going to happen. We just looking like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I've heard Ezekiel 38 explained in terms of a war. I've heard Ezekiel 83 explained in terms of a war. People don't know what they're reading because they don't have the right people, and it just doesn't work.
Nope.
But I listen.
They said the Israel war could be much bigger than Russia and Ukraine. You best believe that, y'all.
We're back with the Fox News alert. Joe Biden offering verbal support for Israel while critics call out the administration's appeasement of Israel's enemies.
Our next guest agrees and says the U.S. has been too distracted by the Russia-Ukraine war.
Independent Women's Forum Senior Fellow Dr. Kanta Ahmed has previously spent time at the Gaza border with Israel Defense Forces, and she joins us now with her insights. Good morning to you, Dr. Ahmed.
Good morning.
As you look at the news over the past 36 hours, what is your top line thought?
First of all, Israel and all those people like us that are invested in peace in the region, pluralist Muslims, are under siege by terrorist organizations, Hamas and Hezbollah. Hamas has launched this assault with Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which is also a terrorist group. They want to reignite what we've just lived through, the global war on terror, radical Islam against the world, radical Islam dividing the Muslim world, the war in which you served. And so that's the first message. The second message is this is an attempt to scupper the Israel-Palestinian deal that Jared Kushner envisioned and the Saudi Arabian-Israel detente that the Abraham Accords presents. This is multi-pronged.
You know, we were, both of us, on the South Lawn in September.
Carry out such a well-planned, multi-dimensional operation against Israel, and Israeli intelligence seemed to be caught totally unawares. This had to take months and months of planning. I think it demonstrates Hamas really has learned how to carry out this type of planning and not have the Israelis become aware of it. So, again, the Israeli intelligence is mainly Shin Bet, which is the domestic intelligence agency, as well as the Israeli military intelligence that has responsibility for Gaza. But it does raise questions about whether or not Israeli sources, both human and technical sources, have been compromised by Hamas, and the Israelis were being fed false information and gave them a false sense of complacency. Because there were just so many Hamas militants that were involved in this, again, it took many, many months in order to plan this.
And when you say compromised, do you mean that some of these intelligence forces for Israel could have gone and
yeah, they could
Hamas?
Have been doubled. They could have been identified by Hamas and then doubled back against Israel and being fed, you know, false information into Israeli intelligence headquarters, as well as some of their technical systems. They might have, you know, found out where they were and being and then intentionally putting information into that that, again, did not give Israel a sense that this planning was taking place.
Some of the military tactics used here, I mean, this is advanced military tools that were used here in these attacks. Was that surprising to you? What does that tell you about Hamas's capabilities or who may or may not have been helping them?
Well, it shows great compartmentation on the part of Hamas because, again, there were just so many different elements involved in this, you know, land, sea, air. But Hamas over the years has been able to accumulate quite a bit of rockets and munitions. It has received training from outside. It's been, you know, the benefactor of Iran and others have provided Hamas the wherewithal, the ability, the insights, the training that is necessary to do this. So clearly this was very well orchestrated. It was done at the senior leaders of, you know, Hamas, and it's something that I know was planned for many, many years, and I think they just took advantage of the opportunity. And when I look at some of the footage in this music festival that took place right outside of the Gaza Strip and the wanton slaughter of individuals there, I mean, this clearly shows the core militants group within Hamas really carried this out with great vengeance as well as with tremendous execution.
There you have it, y'all. He said this is incredible how they could even pull that off. There you have it.
I'd like to say one other thing. You know what? That was a music festival. They said that people were there for freedom, and they were there, and they were, a lot of them were taking drugs, so they had this high going. And yet on the very border, on the other side, you have people who cannot move freely. You don't believe in that type of thing. It's like you are the antithesis. Everything they say for it. This is like thumbing your nose in their face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something when you think about it.
I mean, it's a lot. Ooh, Lord, I'm like, shoot, this thing ain't gonna end. This thing gonna be over with in a few days because I don't know if the Muslim community is gonna sit back and watch them kill off all them people. I mean, for real, Hezbollah got into it. You know, they said a police officer in Egypt shot two Israelis and an Egyptian. You know, and they trying to hold themselves back. But you got Iran and all them people right there waiting.
Just a matter of time.
Muslims. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That is a lot. Oh, man, oh, man. Well, you know what I'm saying? I fight. You know, we're not in it. We don't have no dog in this fight. And like I said, we have already showed the scriptures why we're watching it and what's going on as far as we're watching, because everybody knows that we have to go back to the land of Canaan. We have to go back to our own land. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 1 through 8 talks about where we're going. It names the very cities and the land and the name of the place, the Gaza Strip, Ascalon, Ashdod, and Ekron is the same areas where they are right now, and they are fighting, and it is supposed to be cleaned off. So this is very interesting to watch, I'm telling you. And we're supposed to go back to the land that's brought back by war, by the sword. So this is very interesting. Very, very, very interesting to watch. No, but I don't know. I guess we'll go ahead and keep watching, and we'll go ahead and end the show. Anybody have anything you want to say before we dismiss for tonight? I mean, because I know they're listening to us all over the world, and you know, we can't take sides. We have to stay neutral because this is nothing that has anything to do with us. You know, we are sitting in the lands of our captivity away from our land because of our disobedience. However, the Most High promised that he was going to bring us back. He was going to bring us back to the land of Canaan, and that's where we're going. We do not take sides one way or the other. War is a terrible thing, and it's a terrible thing when people lose their lives. You know, so this is not our battle. This is not our fight. You know, but, I mean, other than that, anything you want to say, Brother Urasanon?
Oh, ma'am, everybody just stay prayed up. Keep watching. Look up, because you don't know what's going to happen from one minute to the next.
All right. Anybody, Erica, Sister Yusantia, you have anything you want to share?
No, other than shalom. I say shalom to everyone.
All right, area code 228, you have anything you want to share before we dismiss?
Yes, I am glued to the television or social media.
I know you are. Me too. I'm sitting here watching
I miss out on so much. I got to catch up.
Hold on, area code 717, you have anything you want to share? 717?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hello? We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. We can hear you.
Yes. Pack your bags, Judah. We're going home.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Eric 717, your mic is open. You on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, we already got our backpack right in front of the door. I'm just waiting for the angel to knock on the door, raise the Most High, ready to go home.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises be to the High and Holy One of Israel, that he is our Elohim. He made us a promise. He said he was going to deliver us, and we are waiting for our deliverance. Shalom, shalom, everyone. You guys be safe. You know, like I said, we have to stay neutral as the nation of Yehuda to not take sides either way. You know, we just going to stand on this word and trust y'all. You guys have a wonderful rest of your evening, and shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom. Shalom, family.
Shalom.